And we are happy to have with us today our own Padre Paul, Bishop Bob Bearden, Bishop Dana Duryea, and Reverend Darlene Antonowitz. Welcome to all our prayers today.
Thank you, Barbara Rose, Reverend Barbara Rose. What a glorious day this is, celebrating the birth of Christ in our hearts, but also in our consciousness. Love your prayers this morning, Barbara Rose. Just beautiful. It'll really set the tone of what I'm feeling inside. So, been up early. I was up with the sunrise this morning. And actually, I looked out the window and I saw the sunrise, and it reminded me of Ron and I in the early days. We were in California at Easter time. And so we did an Easter sunrise, and it was glorious. So it just awakened me to the beauty of all the times that I've shared in life this special day. And I'm so happy to celebrate with my brothers, my sisters, this Easter morning or afternoon, wherever you're at. But just want to introduce Reverend Darlene from Wisconsin. How are you doing, Darlene?
Hello, happy Easter. I'm doing well. I am. We in the Midwest, as you know, have not reached spring, even though we think we have. But early this morning, it was so beautiful, and the sun came through the trees, and Jesus was so present here, and the Divine Mother. We're grateful for this time to be together. Thank you.
Glad you're with us again, darling. Even though it might be a little burr this morning, I understand that. But in your heart, it's burning, you know, absolutely, with the love of Christ. So happy you're with us. How about you, Bishop Dana? Should I ask, how did you wake up this morning, or just how was your glorious day?
Well, it's interesting, Padre, because I think my path took the path of Jesus this week, where it was kind of like downhill and it was like really heavy. Even yesterday, it was heavy, but I felt something changing. And it was about, they kept saying, it's okay, because you're breaking up things. And so I think this is a time that we all rebirth. So about 15 minutes after I woke up, all of a sudden I felt my heart going boom. And then all of a sudden the music started playing in my head that they always have going on. And it's just like my background now. I just feel like there's lots of possibility, lots of joy, and I feel very uplifted.
I think you make a great statement of the trials, in a sense, that maybe you face, or should we say all of us face. It was Holy Week, in a sense. So it's really about that dying to self. And it's ultimately, because we had Good Friday, you can't have Good Friday without then the resurrection. So I think we all walk the walk in one way or another. And I'm just very blessed to have you and others with us, and especially those joining in for the first time, or for those who have been here before. It makes me happy to do this. I've had two church services already this morning, my Catholic, my Protestant, and now with my community. And this is glorious to me, because to spend time with my family, spiritual family, means the world. So Bishop Bobby, how was your morning?
Really good, Padre. So happy that we got to be together today on this beautiful day of light. And I woke up really, after 3 weeks of being home now from Medjugorje, just really aware of the fruits that were deposited, and so grateful that we get to now bring this mystery to light for our community.
Ooh, I love that. I truly love that. Our trip to Medjugorje was so wonderful. I laid in bed this morning, face down, just experiencing the peace that passes all understanding. My mind was clear. I could actually breathe normally, in a sense. For those that didn't know, I had a lot of congestion in the last maybe 2 weeks. And to finally breathe on my own with no medicine, it was like, this is resurrection time, you know. And one of my friends who's actually on the call today said they're going to wear sunglasses, but I don't see them on them. But anyway, so because I'm so brilliant, filled with all the church today, but it was a celebration. And I hope this becomes your celebration for this Easter season. And I'm sure if you're not spending the time with your friends, your family, you're spending it with your spiritual family. And that's the best of both worlds in my world. So thank you, everyone. Bishop Dana, could I ask you to enter in and open up our service tonight, today, whatever time it is, in prayer?
Yes, Padre, thank you. Most gracious Lord, thank you for opening our hearts today in a new way, in a way that brings us the possibilities. We may call it hope. We may call it the truth. We may call it love. But the opportunity is laid bare before us. The ground is open. It's already fertile. We're ready for you to plant your seed within us, that we can grow today into the knowingness of your grace and love. We all face trying times, and sometimes we forget you're here in every second, in every breath, in every grain of sand, and every flower, and the sunshine, and the clouds, and the nighttime. It's good to remember that the internal creates the outer. And as we break that dawn with you today, as we break bread and take on the body and the blood of our greatest teacher, we surrender into you. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful, Dana. Just a reminder that we will end with a communion service. So if you do not have your communion elements, whether it's the bread, crackers, wine, water, whatever that is for each of you, please, at the end, we will be doing communion together, which is one of my favorite parts, or just seeing each one of you with your heart open. That's just glorious. I've asked Bishop Bobby, Bishop Dana, Reverend Darlene to present something today in the mystical realm of Easter, some of the attributes that maybe you and I experience or desire to experience, because I just want to expand on this glorious day of light. So first off, I'm going to have Bishop Dana teach us about rising up. So Bishop Dana.
Thank you, Padre. So when I've been given this title, I always sit and wait for Holy Spirit to give me guidance, because it could mean a gazillion different things or directions we could go in. But Spirit was guiding me to focus on rise up as a command that has power, a decree, a statement that is used often in the Bible, but we kind of gloss over it because it applies to somebody else. It doesn't apply to us. So I'd like to show you some of those ways that we might have associated with it. Now, of course, with rise up, we're going to first associate it with Jesus. You know, he is risen. Now, that would mean that somebody had to say to him, rise up. If the command was present in this situation, that could be Holy Spirit. It could be God. It could be, I don't know, it could have been echoed before he died. I don't know. But nonetheless, that's what we associate with rise up, because we're comparing ourselves to how Jesus was able to overcome the worst obstacle or the hardest obstacle of any human being, is to deal with death or understand death or understand its implications in our choice making. But let's go further back. Let's understand how rise up has been part of scripture for a long time. We can go all the way back to Joshua. Joshua was, again, who took over the army under Moses. And as they were trying to establish their home ground or whatever, when they had some wars, they often would get in some trouble because the soldiers would loot, kind of like what we're seeing currently in the world, where sometimes during wars, people will take things. So God spoke to Joshua because they lost. His army had lost. And he's like, what's happening, God? Why have you betrayed us? And he said, your people broke the commandment they have taken from another, and they're hiding it in their tents. So he said, rise up, consecrate or bless the people and say, bless yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, there are things that are cursed among you, things you've taken. O Israel, you cannot stand victorious before your enemies until you remove the things that are cursed from among you. So one of the things is, I look at this a little differently. What kind of things do I own or have that aren't really aligned with who I am and the light that I need to be bringing in? That could be what I have in my house, or what I have in my refrigerator, or what I have in my desk. You know, simply the ability to discern what's stopping me from going forward because of my attachment to it. Am I willing to let that go? Am I willing to rise up and move forward from there? There's also later on in Ezra, again, the same situation. many years later, hundreds of years later, probably thousands, in which case this time what happened is after they conquered another army or a town, they decided to marry the women of that town. So that was outside of Moses' law, which you were only supposed to marry within the community, etc. And again, they were warned, you know, you're making bad choices. So this matters in your hands, rise up. We, all the angels, Holy Spirit, will support you. So take courage and do it, which is meaning make those decisions, separate and keep everything clean. So it's about how do we make choices every day? Can we rise up beyond our desire or beyond our fantasies or beyond our terror or fear or doubt? Can we see the truth of what Christ and God is offering us so that we can make an aligned choice to help the world, help ourselves, help our families? Later in Isaiah, basically it was the idea that as they were trying to figure out how they could be freed, they were slaves again, Holy Spirit was trying to remind them, it doesn't matter how you were taken in. It isn't an equal equation. I can free you. There has to be no money paid. So rise up, clothe yourself in strength, in courage, in belief. Put on the garments of your glory, O Jerusalem, the city of Holy One, for the uncircumcised and unclean will no longer pass through you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise and sit up, O Jerusalem. Loose the chains from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Stop thinking those thoughts. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money, meaning that you'll be saved regardless of what you think will happen. So the same thing. How many times are we allowing thoughts of doubt and worry and disbelief to continually circle around in our gerbil cage of our daily habit, you know, and it could be just the simple stuff about daily stuff. You think it's not going to work. You're not getting it done on time. Instead of how can you look at it in terms of half glass full? How do you understand to rise up beyond this weight of heaviness? And of course, as Jesus, as we get in the New Testament from Matthew, Jesus went up on the hill with Peter and James and his brother John, his brother James, and his brother John, I guess, to the top of a hill. And as he was standing there, his appearance changed so much, he became like the sun. Suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared and were talking with him. Peter blurted out, Master, it's wonderful we can be here. If you want, we'll make three shelters, one for you, Moses, and one for Elijah. But even as he said it, a bright cloud came over them. The voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son, and I am wonderfully pleased with him. Obey him. At this, the disciples fell downward to the ground, terribly frightened. Jesus came over and touched them. Rise up. Don't be afraid. When they looked, only Jesus was with them. So this is the idea behind, a lot of times we don't realize how much we allow fear and terror and limitation to stop us. Even the fear of the light. Not just the fear that we can't make it in the world, but literally we don't feel we're worthy of the light, that they just fell on the ground instead of, hi, good to see you. I've been praying for a long time. So that gentle rise up, you're worth it. You're worthy. Rise up, open today. The Lord's here for you. Of course, Jesus went on to teach us so much more because he went on to show us how to remove illness through, again, using the word. So he came to the book. Pool in Bethesda where people would go for healing when the water stirred. One gentleman was there and he'd been there for a long time, but he couldn't move. And Jesus asked him, do you want to get healed? And he says, I can't. I have no one to put me in the pool. Every time I try to go there, somebody gets ahead of me. And Jesus told him, rise up, roll up your sleeping mat and go home. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his mat, began walking. It was on the Sabbath when this miracle was done. So again, here's this idea that sometimes we are so sure that our current problem, our current physical, mental, emotional, spiritual illness can't be changed. And we're waiting for this opportunity for something to happen. But a lot of times it starts with us. It starts with us deciding to rise up, us deciding to change, us deciding that it's time to surrender. Can we do that? Are we ready to roll up our mat and move on past the pain? Of course, then there's the death itself. We're very familiar with Jesus's powers. But again, this was an earlier story that when I was a kid was overlooked quite a bit. But later I was like, oh, it's because it didn't have as many paragraphs in the Bible. But he had, there was a family, a guy named Jairus and his wife had a daughter, and she was sick. And they were out following Jesus and they were told through messengers that their daughter was dead. But Jesus said, don't be afraid, just trust me. He waited and he only took Peter, James, and John with him. And then we got there, he saw that everybody was crying and it was overwhelming. And why all this weeping and commotion? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. And of course they laughed at him, but he told them all to leave, and taking the girl's father and mother and his three disciples, he went in the room where she was lying. Take her by the hand, he said to her, rise up, little girl, rise up. And she jumped up and walked around. Her parents couldn't believe it. Jesus instructed them very earnestly not to tell what had happened and told them to give her something to eat. Now, I know a lot of us think that this is a fairy tale or it's never going to happen in real life, but I can tell you it's happened in my life, as I already described, with me going into a hospital where my grandmother was declared brain dead. And yet I was told to stand there and rise up by Holy Spirit. I didn't want to get up. It kicked me to rise me up. And then in that opening, I didn't know what was happening. Couldn't even fathom that my grandmother would ever wake up. She was already declared dead. So in laying my hands on and just listening to Holy Spirit, as Holy Spirit entered her, she woke up. She lived. And she lived like her doctor used to call her, Lazarus. And of course, today, Easter. Celebration that we tend to gloss over in ways that we don't even understand, not even understanding all the beauty and the opportunity and just the availability of what can be in your heart. And to remind us that today is the example of our ability to rise up from anything with God.
Yay! What a magnificent display of courage to rise up, to face our fears, and become brand new, Dana. That was awesome. I had my two church services today, and the music was wonderful. The worship was wonderful, just like it is today. And it takes you to that place of remembrance. And we are celebrating Jesus' life that he gives eternally for each of us. We just need to step out of the way, get out of the way. This brand new you is emerging today. And just thank you, Bishop Dana, for the outstanding presentation. Next in line is our beautiful Reverend Darlene, and she's going to be talking about rejoicing. So what I have to say, this is a healing day, and I'm already feeling the angels and the saints around us. And so at any point, whether it's a word, a video, something that sparks us, take hold of it, grab a hold of it. That's that living power coming to us, and we can actually be healed during this service. Doesn't matter if we're actually praying. We are praying because we're in one accord today. So receive that glorious presence wherever it is and tap into it. Just say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Mary, for this wonderful gift today. Reverend Darlene.
Thank you, Padre. So energy is moving through, as you said, and it is wonderful. When you gave me the gift to do rejoice, let me just move this a little bit. When you gave me the gift to do rejoice, I thought, what, how do we do that? How we do rejoice celebration? It's easy when everything is going well, but how deep do we need to go to be able to rejoice in the dark night, in the times that we are living right now on our, in our world? How do we do that? So what I ask that we start with is a message that I feel I would like to offer to begin. If everyone is comfortable closing your eyes and placing your hand on your heart and just feeling your breath come in, feeling life, feeling Yeshua Jesus, as he says to us, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. We rejoice, we live, we celebrate. Let us feel, hear, know, sense, live you, Yeshua Jesus. Amen. So, and Mary said, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon his handmaid's lowliness. Behold, from now on will all ages call me blessed. The mighty one has done great things for me. I'm repeating that. The mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And then St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. let your moderation be known unto all. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on those things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, what does that mean to you? Feel that breath. So rejoice. In order to experience rejoice, celebration, praise, the tool is prayer. The energy, the grace, the relationship with prayer. In order to rejoice when it is deeper, prayer is the tool. Prayer is the answer. And Jesus, Yeshua Jesus, as we know, is right there with all of us, right there. And a few moments ago when we felt the breath, the heart, the aliveness within us, we know and are assured in the promise. So here's an interesting story. When last night when I was going through the notes and I had some hallelujah comments and I thought, where did they go? I'm sure they're in here. At 3 o'clock this morning, our beloved Padre Ron Roth woke my heart up and said, I want to be the hallelujah. I wanted to give the message. So I got up and I listened. And what he, and I've been ordained since 1998, so the beloved blessings and the walks, what I connected with and felt was the Ron, as many of you know and do, and those that walked with him in physical, those that know him spiritually, those he's right here as we know. But one of the greatest gifts that I saw through Ron that I experienced was that part of his humility. Now, Ron, extreme leader, extreme healer. He would walk into the room, as you know, and the ego would be present. It would be so strong. But his love for God, his love for Jesus, his love for the beloved, the Holy Mother, he would get out of the way completely and allow the healing to completely come through him. Many times, fear thou not, down. And his love, his vessel, the surrender that he would be and share, the true love that I experienced, miracle, miracle, miracle. And we do that now through CLM. We feel that. We live it. Now, he explains through his heart that all of us have this ability. It is not just one. And we see that we live it, but we also have to stand up and be it. It isn't just when Ron would teach us, Padre Ron would teach us that in order to accomplish, you need to get out of the way. In order to be, in order to Holy Spirit, in order to have that, he would tell us, you can't heal something in the same vibration in which it was created. You have to raise to the praise, raise to the praise, raise the frequency, the grace to that place. And that's possible through prayer. To experience the rejoice, to experience that celebration, it is through that grace. So hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our beloved St. Therese of Lisieux, our beloved little flower. This is a photo of when in at her center in Marion, Illinois, after they redid the windows and we were at our retreat. and it was so gorgeous. I'm grateful that she has asked to participate in this talk on Rejoice. Let us love, for that is what our hearts were made for. So, yes, and the depth of her love for Jesus, the depth of her love for God, for the Holy Mother, the depth, this young, beautiful saint who is with all of us, not just some, all of us. She calls, she's delighted to be. And her suffering, I understand it in that sense of the more, when we look at the suffering, it isn't about the torture as we heard on Good Friday. It's about the further you go in, the more, the depth you go, the closer you draw to God, the closer you experience. I did have a wonderful experience with her in January of 2020. And it was before all the pandemic. And I had been fine one day. And then the next day, this spiritual crisis, physical crisis. And I felt, I didn't know if I was going to get to stay. And I experienced her grace. I felt spiritually I was buried alive. I was about 6 feet under, I thought. And I could hear life above. It was like we were deep within the earth. And I could hear life. I could hear things going on above, people walking, people living. But I was deep within this darkness. And I remember I couldn't speak. And I turned and I could feel these arms around me. And they were the arms of Saint Therese. And she said, "Here, I will hold you. I've got you. I've got you. We will be here together." And I was frozen. I was paralyzed. But yet the love of all, the love, I'm feeling it right now. If you're feeling that coming through you right now, it's her right there holding you, loving you. And in her hands, while we were underground, in her hands, she had what looked like stakes. And I really didn't understand that. I remember seeing them. And I thought, are those from Jesus? Are those from my death in casket? I didn't know what it was. But I learned later that those were stakes that had been part of her bed in her illness. And I believe she lived to age 24 and died of tuberculosis in physical form. But those stakes were part of her bed. And my understanding of this, my takeaway, so was that she had created or wanted something within her final days that also was of great suffering. It was a part of her, but yet it took her into a depth of knowing, of loving, of fearlessness, of prayer, of prayer. If there's anything this beloved saint brings, she rejoices. She goes deeper. She is within all of our hearts and is delighted to share. She, from her, I have heard, I am learning how that great suffering, how we are in this Easter celebration, is the rise up, as Bishop Dana said, the resurrection, as you will hear, the light, the wholeness, the aliveness, and knowing that we need this. When Reverend Barbara Rose said, we need this now more than ever, the Christ consciousness is alive. And perhaps as we continue to raise, to rejoice, to love, we will be the little children as she is. The love, the innocence, the dedication, the prayers. This is a road that we travel every day. It's out right outside our house. And spring is my favorite time of the year. And this road, the light you know, sometimes it just shines so bright. And so I stopped, and sometimes there's turkeys or deer that will cross, but the light was so spectacular. And it reminded me of a story called The Traveler. I would like to share that with you now. It's called Tell Me by George MacDonald. Traveler, what lies over the hill? Traveler, tell me, tell to me. Tiptoe high on the windowsill, over I cannot see. My child, a valley green lies there, lovely with trees and shy, and a tiny brook that says, take care, or I'll drown you by and by. And what comes next? A little town and a towering hill, a lonely moor without one beaten way, and slow clouds drifting dull before a wind that will not stay. And then dark rocks and yellow sand, blue sea and a morning tide. And then more sea, and then more land, with rivers deep and wide. And then, oh, rock and mountain and vale, ocean and shores and men, over and over a weary tale, and round to your home again. And is that all from day to day, like one with a long chain bound? Should I walk and walk and not get away, but go always round and round? No, no, I have not told you the best. I have not told you the end. If you want to escape away in the west, you will see a stair built of all colors of lovely stones, a stair up into the sky, where no one is weary and no one moans or wishes to be laid by. Is it far away? I don't know. You must fix your eyes thereon and travel, travel through thunder and snow till the weary way is gone. All day, though you never see it shine, you must travel nor turn aside. All night, you must keep us as straight a line through moonbeams or darkness wide. When I am older, nay, not so, I've hardly opened my eyes, he to the old sunset would go, starts best with the young sunrise. Is the stair right up? Is it very steep? Too steep for you to climb. You must lie at the foot of the glorious heap and patiently wait your time. How long? Nay, I cannot tell. In wind and rain and frost, it may be so, and it is well that you should count the cost. Pilgrims from near and far, from distant lands, will step on you lying there, but a wayfaring man with wounded hands will carry you up the stair. The child, the traveler, the moments I ask that you bring here, invite the child within, the children of all the world.
Wow, how glorious is that? Thank you, darling. We all are those travelers. We're all seeking that greater awareness of God's love for each one of us. You bring such a beautiful peace to our Easter celebration. And I'd love to see all those miracles that happen, little tidbits of glory showing up. And each of us can experience that in our own life today, tomorrow. Doesn't matter which, you just draw near to that Son of God, which is so beautiful. And you beautifully express that in yours. Thank you so much for divine grace today. Love you dearly.
Love you dearly.
Love these themes that are happening today. And hopefully you're being moved by sound, by words, by poems, by just pictures. Everything seems to be coming alive in a sense of what's within us. Like Dana said, what's in us is also on our outside. And my world is beaming today, you know, by the glorious one, Yeshua. Let's continue on. I'm going to invite Bishop Bobby about rebirthing. What do you say about that, Bobby?
I say hallelujah.
Me too.
So beautiful, both Bishop Dana and Reverend Darlene. My gosh, we are a blessed community with so many enlightened spirits. So thank you for those presentations. I'm really touched. So I'm going to be talking about rebirthing. And I feel like this is a really important message for all of us. And we'll go to the next slide, please. Because it's relief to be rebirthed. It's a relief to let the veil be pierced, to let the light stream onto this day, to know that morning has broken open and that hope is restored. We hang on so tightly to our bondage and we hang on so tightly to our pain because somehow there's a belief system that if we hold on to it, it might get better. But God, in his resurrection and in his example, has shown us to rise up, as Bishop Dana taught us, has shown us to be that beloved child, as Reverend Darlene showed us. And it is not just a fantasy. It's not a story. It's an experience. It's a living experience. So I'm going to invite everyone just to say, ah, because when we recognize the divine in that sound, in that utterance, we start becoming that in our own experience. And then we truly can experience renewal. We truly can experience the angelic promise that we are never alone. We truly can experience that we will be comforted in the storm and we will be companioned in the sunshine. And we really can experience the resurrection power of the Christ consciousness. So we have to say farewell to the Lenten days. We have spent 40 days in purification, 40 days in examination, 40 days in confession. And we have to open ourselves to the promise of the light. The time is ripe to say a fond farewell to these Lenten days and nights. So I'm just going to ask everyone to consciously say, farewell, farewell. I did my work. I looked inside. I opened myself to the promise of this day and to really understand that wherever you are right now, you will be companioned. You will be seen and heard and loved exactly as you are. Because today is the first day. And as we hold in awareness, awe, and wonder, the eternal and the sublime, we will be opening our hearts and filling ourselves with the miracle of life reborn in the spirit. This is the example of what the Christ consciousness brings. And we don't hold on to the terror of the crucifixion. We actually open ourselves to the risen reality of the light. And we thank God for everything because there is nothing that God cannot bring us through or atone us for. We thank God for everything because everything that we experience is a learning. Everything that we experience fully is God. And as we have found so many times, we are never alone. If the angels are not there with us, then we have a beautiful friend who shows up at the moment when we need it the most, or a bird who sings in our window, or some kind of awareness that strikes us so that we can regroove and regroup in a moment's notice. These are all experiences that I have had where God has gone before me to show me the way, that God becomes the fresh dew of the morning, that God will bring a new rain, a renewal, a fortification, that God will show me the experience of resurrection so that I don't have to make it up. I am shown how to resurrect in every situation. So there is nothing that I could be left alone to suffer the consequences. That God is the good shepherd and is always looking out for me. That I am never lost and that I can only be found. Next slide, please. And these are many of the followers of Jesus in his time who went out into the world to sow the seed so that all of us could experience a renewal. And a lot of them took upon their lives the same or a similar suffering as Jesus, because they were direct disciples of him. But 2,000 years now forward, we receive the fruit of Jesus. We receive the bounty of Jesus. And we do not have to become the disciples of the old times. We can receive their mystery, and we can receive their message, but we need to live a fruitful life, a golden life, and create a golden age. So we start by honoring the many names of the Christ. And throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, just as Bishop Dana was teaching us, there are so many names of the divine, the righteous one, God of my salvation, redeeming God, Prince of Peace, the God who saves. These are all decrees. You say those names and they become a decree. You say those names and they become a key that unlocks a door of consciousness. Next slide, please. And then the light of 1,000 suns can warm each of us as we celebrate life together and honor these names together. We do not need to fight with any of this. It's not political and it's not belief systems. It's energy, the energy of resurrection, the energy of Hosanna in the highest. It's the energy of the bright morning star. It's the energy of the Word, the emancipation, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God. This is my body, which becomes the bread of life. The wonderful counselor, the everlasting father, Emmanuel, light of the world. It becomes all of these things in our soul and in our experience so that we do not have to make it a mental opportunity, but it becomes a soul recognition or a heart opening experience. Padre Ron was so invested in knowing God personally. He wrote books about it, and he taught each of us how to do that in our own ways. And he taught us how to recognize vibrationally heaven on earth, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God. He taught us how to see the God who sees me, to recognize the God who sees me. He taught us how to know the God who is almighty, and to know the God who will provide. Padre Ron taught us how to make the Lord my banner, my way, my victory, my march into life. He taught us that the Lord is peace, a peace that passes all understanding. And he taught us that the Lord heals. So there is nothing that can stay damaged or broken. So for this, I thank Ron, because like Reverend Darlene, 24 years ago, I started in this ministry, and 24 years ago, I was saved by this ministry, and I am so grateful. So the mystery is revealing itself. The beloved Christ are all of these names that I've described and more, and there will be so many names given to each of us. We should just write them down. Use it as an invitation to know the face of God, because the mystery will reveal itself in our heart. And I pray that today holds us in that mystery of greatest love and care, that we can experience how much we are adored as we adore the great Thou art. And I want to thank you, and I want to wish everyone the most blessed Easter. Amen.
Amen. Man, Bobby, I really felt that in your presentation. You're such a gem of bringing out the life force that Ron talked about in the scriptures. It talked about this divine grace, this divine energy that each of us has the opportunity of receiving for today. You know, you talked about energy, and prior to, as Darlene was talking, you could see that energy around her. She was full of that energy, and we're full of this divine energy also. One thing that touched me dearly in your talk in the beginning, of course, and I've said this before, but you used it in such a beautiful way today about the word, it's like 40 days is over. Now the resurrection. And I had the beautiful experience of hearing Ron's last words as he passed. And his last word was, glorious resurrection. So it's very meaningful to me, and I'm sure to many who have watched their loved ones pass, or their parents or their friends or their pet. There's something glorious of the transition that happens. But thank you so much, Bobby, for your presentation today. So clear, so perfect. Just is what it is. I'm going to continue on in my little presentation. Resurrection, he is alive. And I think you already know that. Just by the first three presentations, they all have a aspect of what I'm trying to talk about today, or maybe have you experience. I love this picture. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Who set him free? That is a question. You know, we see Jesus in many pictures or whatever that word is, how he was raised from the dead. I like this picture because don't you think he's like, yes, I'm alive. My father promised that. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he says, Father, let this cup pass from me, if it's your will. Meaning he knew what the will of God was, but it meant dying. And so wouldn't you understand this image that it's like he broke through, you know, all the garland took off and he's like, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free at last. And how many of us have experienced that, whether it was a healing that you experienced, or maybe you're looking for what binds you to be set free. Today can be that day for you. It can be anyone who's been crippled or can't get up or, you know, have a limitation. Maybe you're in the hospital, or maybe you're a friend's in the hospital. I know one who just got out of the hospital actually had one of our team members, Julian, walk him into surgery, you know, part of that. And it's like, we have a cloud of witnesses that is all around us. And if we are aware, if we can tap in, that grace can just expand and grow. And we're blessed to have such a beautiful community around us, besides family and friends and our grandkids. Now, there's a picture of who set Jesus free. It was the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus was baptized? Isn't it interesting? No signs or wonders happened until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so also, from being raised to death to life, it was the Holy Spirit's role to take our teacher, our master, our savior, Jesus, and set him free, that he can now be in us and around us. And that life force is for you. If you're struggling with any, whether it's illness, disease, heartache, loneliness, doesn't matter today. Call upon the Holy Spirit as Jesus did, because it's really about walking with Christ today. I love this. I call it the mystical Christ. Jesus was here. He actually walked this earth for 33 years, but then he transcended back into heaven. But we have access to all the mysteries, all the healing, all the wisdom, the light that can set each one of us free. I love this quote about the lilies of the fields. It speaks to us because it talks about if that is now God's clothes us in the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow it is thrown into the furnace. How much more will he clothe you with those who have little faith? Meaning if the nature knows that there's a time and a season for that seed to grow, we become a plant, become a lily, but then it's the time to die and resurrect once again. So there's an ebb and flow in life. So don't push it. I love what the This one in the black says, "The lilies of the field do not enter into conversation with you. They just keep silence. And by keeping silence, they remind you that you are the presence. You are in the presence of God." And on our trip to Medjugorje, one of our decrees was about silence. It's about just being close to God. And we all had magnificent experiences with that. I love this cross because it just celebrates our death, but also the rising up. You can only imagine what will your heavenly encounter be with Jesus. Ron Roth went before us, and he showed me heaven by his word is, I'm dead, but I'm into eternal life in a moment. But as we remember or only imagine, what is your encounter with Jesus? I really want to focus in on that as we move into communion time. This would be the perfect time also to pray for those who I'd like to pray for the next person who's listening to this video, that it might be your day, your week, your month, that you enter into eternity. I can only imagine the beauty, the joy of leaving this body and entering to eternal life. But Lord, we just prepare that soul right now for that glorious encounter with you. We bless that journey with ease, with love, with mercy, and kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. So at this time, if you have your elements, we would love to break bread together. And I'm going to ask Reverend Darlene if she would lead us in the breaking of the bread.
Thank you, Padre. The Divine Mother tells us, if you want to be close to me, go where my son is. Yeshua Jesus, go where this sacrament, this communion is. So if you're holding your host, your bread right now, lift it as we experience Jesus. This is my body. This is my body. As you break open the bread, as you break this open, my body, my heart, and yours become one. One open heart, alive in your body and my spirit. Receive me. Receive now. Receive and take this holy and miraculous mystery now. Receive the bread, the body.
Amen and amen. We just allow that, the energy of Christ. What I learned in Medjugorje, one of the teachings of Father Leon was, when we receive communion, he says, do you know that's Jesus? And he enters into our hearts. And then he said, be aware that now angels surround you and start adoring the Jesus in you. So that presence, with presence, we become that container of holding Jesus in us. And the angels surround us, along with our angels. I think that's so well, it's a profound statement for you to treasure and to ponder. As you take your element, which is the wine, you know, the scripture says that Jesus took the cup and he blessed it. You looked up to heaven and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for the elements. And what I'd like to be reminded of, in Luke 24, the road to Emmaus, it talked about right after the resurrection, Jesus was walking on this road with two of the disciples. And they were talking about Jesus' death, this journey these last 3 days. And they said, and Jesus asked him, well, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, haven't you? You're the only one that hasn't heard about Jesus, that he was going to be our king, and but he died. And it goes on to say, Jesus was like, tell me that story. I think I just lived it, but tell me that story. So they were going on and on. They were sad because they thought he was going to be their king. And it was getting dark. And so they said, well, we're going to turn in, but you're more than welcome to stay with us. And Jesus like, well, I think I'll go on. They go, well, no, come, we'll break bread together. Okay. And so as the story in Luke goes, Jesus took the bread and he broke the bread. And in that moment, Jesus turned into light. He disappeared because they realized the master was with them. So as you broke bread, as you take the wine today, this is new wine, which represents new health, new relationships, abundance, whatever it is. Sometimes we don't recognize the grace that's in front of us. And today the grace is in front of you. So as you drink this new wine, feel the heart of the Father, the Divine Mother right now, desiring to heal and restore any and all relationships. So receive the gift of new life in Jesus' name. For some, that means you're born again in the Spirit. For others, it's just the expansion of awareness of that very presence. That even as a small child, maybe receiving a first Holy Communion or confirmation or your marriage vows, we make a vow today to allow Christ to become new again in our hearts, our soul, and our mind and spirits. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So as we have received, we also want to allow the words of Christ to come through. So I'm going to ask my three presenters with myself to offer prayers for you, for humanity, for the world that we're living in, and just expressing what's on their hearts as well as yours. And your petition becomes our petition. So if Reverend Dana would offer the first prayers, appreciate that.
Great and Holy One, our hearts are laid open before you now as you receive the music of your voice. Guide us now with just one word as we listen, we pause to hear that word. And as that word becomes evident to us, it becomes like a flower, a seed that's been planted and it sprouts, it starts to put up a bud, and it starts to break open and give us the beauty and the scent of heaven that we can always feel with you. Allow us to have this first before we consider any other thing, before we even risk prayers for others or the world. Because if we do it from pain, we do it from fear, we do it from sorrow, what happens is we combine those tunes together and they do not serve counterbalance. So from this joy, I ask that you bring peace, the peace that we all deserve, need and know. And it's the peace of not just a happy home, but the peace of knowing that wherever my home is, you are with me. The peace of knowing that I cannot control the world, but I can do my best to be a part of the solution by being the light. I ask you to consider all the brothers and sisters, as well as the animals and insects, stones, sky, and earth, as the peace is universal and not segregated for only one area or one being or one life form, because all of you is the breath. And therefore, I receive and hold that entirety, but only with your hands can I do that. Thank you, God, for your grace and beauty as we continue to receive healings through our following prayers. Amen.
Amen. So beautifully said, Dana. Thank you. Reverend Darlene, would you offer prayers for our community?
Thank you. My pleasure, Padre. Sophia, Holy Spirit, come, accept this invitation of your presence. You are here with us now. Talk to me as you and I do every day. Tell my heart, and I will speak forth your holy message. The mystery of the words of the divine presence. I heard, I hear. Wake up, wake up. The depth of conflict we are witnessing. What is inside of you that is showing up in humanity? And remember that we are the Christ consciousness. Jesus rose, continues, loves. We are the Christ consciousness, and it is alive in us. There is no separation. There is only love. Wake up to love. I am eternity. Yeshua Jesus speaks. I call upon all of you now in the name of the I am. We need, we love, we are divine presence, holy love, embodied, alive, promised, celebrated, and whole. So be it. Amen.
Amen. Let it rise up within us. Let your holy prayers go to the throne of grace today. Bishop Bobby.
Lord, you are the resurrection and the light. You are the way. You are the Son. You are the Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bobby just witnessed that transition, that energy that moves through us as a beloved son, a beloved daughter. Receive that in your own heart and mind right now, because it's alive. The Spirit is alive in presence. So just come, Holy Spirit. Just be a receptor or a receiver of God's grace today. Let it pour forth. So I'm just saying, come, Holy Spirit. Let your consuming fire begin to burn in every soul, in every body, in every spirit, setting the captives free, all pain dissolved in the name of Yeshua, our King, our Savior, our Deliverer. Come, Holy Spirit. Let your life abundance be filled to overflow. Fill up our cup, O Lord. Fill up our cup, which is our bodies, our essence, and let your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives. Set it free. So as our spoken words are being decreed for the healing of people's, for our prayers to be answered, for people to be healed of sinuses, headaches, I thank you, O Lord, our God, for the backache, for the bone structure. Be clear with the strength of God, the strength of God begin to, and for anyone who either has had surgery or going into surgery, let your divine grace just multiply and grow, bringing them in and out of that beautiful transition, and they wake up healed and restored and renewed. I thank you, God, for the field of all possibilities, those that are facing major elements of challenges in their life. I just command in the name of these blocks to stop, and I command in the name of Jesus, divine opening, that the angels now begin to profess a new outcome, a new outcome beyond, and you only can say it was by grace of God, because the obstacles that are there are so insurmountable, but God. And so today, the angels go forth and make the crooked path straight and set you, them free. I thank you, God, for those who are grieving, those we pray for the humanity, for Ukraine, Russia, conflict. I thank you, O Lord our God, for every conflict within this world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as we become the peace that passes all understanding, and through our prayers, not out of fear, but out of joy, that God reigns supreme. And so we just allow that grace now just to expand and grow throughout the world right now. The peace that passes all understanding. That's Yeshua. Jesus gets to celebrate his new birth today. We get to celebrate our new birth and then allow that grace to heal and restore others. And I seal in the good work of the Holy Spirit in your life, in our community, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Namaste, everyone. Happy Easter. Happy brilliant day of light as we celebrate our Savior, our healer, but also your light that has come. Lent is over. Actually, my penance is over. So what I got now, I gave up Starbucks. So guess what? I celebrated today my first sips and rejoicing and being happy in the world. But I want to thank our tech team, Julian, Miriam, and Ryan, but also our presenters, Dana, Darlene, and Bobby for this magnificent celebration. Thank you for joining us and look forward to many on our in-person retreat this year in two weeks. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.